that we do more than just sing about you being our shield and protector and about our love for you and wanting you more than anything. Because, Father, it's our heart's desire that allows us to get to know you as best as we can. And, Father, even tonight as we study, Father, I pray that you open our minds and our hearts. And, Lord, as we begin to look down a road of where we are in reality of our culture, Lord, I just pray that you give us the wisdom and understanding to do so. And, Father, that we can just do it through your word and understand how you have defined it and how you understand it. And Lord, I just thank you for each one here tonight, Father, just to speak through me tonight in your son's name. Amen. All right, turn your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. I'd mentioned this morning about the false teachers that are out there. And one of the things I've been looking through, and to give you the exact stats, I can't do, but what is being said and told is that everybody knows a mega church is. There are many mega churches that are doing a phenomenal job. And so this isn't a message against mega churches. But what is being seen is that I believe the top five mega churches, and we're talking huge, huge, huge churches. We're not talking just a couple hundred. Top five mega churches today, it is stated, are being taught by all the false teachers. And the one that blew me out of the water the most is Andy Stanley. He has simply gone completely off the rail. And his statement when he was doing a message said, just because God said, believed it, and just because, just because Christ said it, and just because Christ believed it doesn't mean it's true. When you have a pastor of a 1,000 people church making statements like that, we are living in a day where false teachers are being magnified. And so I was watching a clip of an individual, and his question was, why? Why does God allow them to stay where they are? Why does God allow them to prosper? Why does the churches that are teaching the soft end of Scripture or very little of the conviction of Scripture, and why they're just allowing? And he went down and had a whole list of all these different groups of people, which to name them is, to me, is irrelevant, because you know who they are. You're out in the world enough, you see them. All you got to go do is on YouTube and start listening to some of these guys, and it is appalling what is going on in churches today. Saw a clip this morning of the transgender pastors that are being paraded and cheered as they go down the aisleway of the church and being applauded in their complete transgender gar. And the question: why is God allowing this stuff to happen? I mean, if you know God like I know God, he could just say, dink, right? He's bruised some people before, but I mean, he could just say, you know what, enough's enough. But what this gentleman stated in the clip, and it got me thinking and going into a study on it, is the realm of the answering that question, why? Why is God allowing that to happen? Why is it still so prevalent in our world? And listen, you start searching this out and you start looking, you will be absolutely appalled by what's out there. I mean, in our little world here, we hear a few things here and there, but what in a global setting, what is going on in the houses of God today is nothing short of complete blaspheme and complete false teaching against God. And again, I'm not busting mega churches at all, but they're more concerned about the numbers. They're more concerned about the entertainment. And you just watch some of the things that goes on. And, you know, most of us here tonight are mature enough in their Christian walk to be able to watch something like that that is totally wrong, but just to get a feel for where our world's at. It is no wonder that the lower generation is just clueless and messed up. And it's no wonder that they're able to push their agendas so easily through the systems, because it is so prevalent. And then when you have men that are standing behind the pulpit and simply saying, just because God believed it and said it doesn't mean it's true, what else truth do you have? Where else do you go for truth? And so when we go into 2 Timothy, Paul addressed this to Timothy. And he gave us, listed here, some 19 different general characteristics that you should expect. And I emphasize that word expect, because that answers the question why. And the bottom line is, you know why we still have it in our churches today? You know why that's going on today? Because God said so. Those things are going on in our churches because God said they would. So he gave way back when, he has given a parameter for us to see and not be surprised by it, because he said, listen, this stuff's going to happen. This stuff's going to come. God said they are going to be doing what they're doing. That's why it's happening. Rodney, you had a question? Sure. Exactly. All through the Timothy, when he was taught, and Paul, when he wrote to the letters to the preachers, the pastoral or the prison epistles, he wrote to the preachers when he was in prison. He told them, listen, and so I want to go back. Can you imagine? Now I realize 1 Peter 1:21, Spirit of God moved these men to write. We have, and what's amazing is you won't find a Bible in these mega churches. Because it's just man's writing. It's nothing. This is just a book of stories. This is my God. According to John 1, the Word became flesh. This is the Word. This is His Word. If you truly believe that these men were moved by the Spirit of God, I've heard it said that you don't have to believe in the inerrancy of the Scriptures. Well, what else are you going to believe in? If you don't have the inerrancy of Scripture, if you don't have the Word of God that has given you the absolute truth, then what that does and what is going on and it's happening and why they're going such a far distance away is because now I, as a man, have been gifted and am intelligent enough to tell you what is real and what is not real in Scriptures. I can say what to listen to and what not listen to. I can say that, you know, listen, this is just a bunch of words. This is where you want to stay. This is where you want to believe. Don't worry about the rest of it. And it's given back control to man. It's given back so that one pastor, and there was one that there's no more, I can't even think of the words he used. One was no more hymnology. The hymns are gone. And I'll tell you what, you want to listen to what God can do and who God is, read the hymns. Read the hymns. If you want to see what man can do and how good we are, read all the praise songs, contemporary music. Because it's everything I'm doing for God. It's not about what I can do for God. Now, I love songs. I love praise songs. There are many great ones out there. But we're talking about the ones that are going overboard, like we did this morning. Every rich person is not bad, but the greed of that person is what is bad, or the greed of one person that may be rich is bad, how they acquired it. So when we look at this, again, answering the why question is because God said so. That's why we have what we have in our world today. God could change it, absolutely. Will God change it? Someday. But for now, for today, we're going to see some of that stuff gone. So I just want to look at this list. I'm going to sort of prepare us through this list. If Paul is writing to Timothy and he's saying, expect these things, he says in verse 1, know also that in the last days perilous times shall come, or basically are at hand. This is stuff that they were going through. And this is what surprises me. If you and I were alive today and we were in these churches today, we would feel the same way that you and I do today. They saw these things going on. They saw the evilness of man. They saw the erroneous ways that they were coming in and they were adding to Paul's truth, and they were still trying to get them to come under the law, the Judaism. And so it's not new. We look at our world and think, wow, this is like unbelievable. I've never seen this before. Well, maybe not in this, but you've seen it this. You know, everything looks, you know, same time, same day, different channel. And so when you see what this is being written to, or who is written to, it applies to us. And yet some men behind the pulpit today will say most of the scriptures are irrelevant to us today. And so, listen, it's out there. Just start researching it. Just start looking. It's unbelievable what is being taught. One gentleman said, I'm going to get off this horse in a minute. One gentleman said, I wish I was there when God was creating male and female, because I would have asked them to put another option in. Guess what kind of church he preaches at? And we look, if you're like me, I'm like, are you serious right now? You're going to tell God he messed up and he needed to have another option. But folks, this is how bad it's getting. This is where it's at. And we're tucked down in our own little church that as long as I'm alive, you will nothing be preached but the truth of the word of God from this pulpit. And I pray it always stays that way, no matter who's behind the pulpit. But we got to realize what is out there, because we're becoming a minority that still holds a Bible, sings hymns, and preaches the truth. What we grew up with as the norm and the always is now the minority. And so, man, with churches closing their doors left and right, with the fights going on in midst of the denominations, with all the legal fights and battles going on within some of the denominations, listen, the church is messed up today, big time. It's a mess. We got to know what to look for. We got to know what to see. So, as we get into this study, it's coming. In the last days, perilous times, he goes now and lists these 19 things, which is interesting, because as this is like a prediction that the world will see terrible times. The world is going to see terrible times. And I'm going to say this right up front, and you know me, I always walk on the thin ice. Too many Christians, good, solid, fundamental Christians, are hiding behind the curtain of the rapture. You're hiding. Because, oh, it's all right. I don't have to worry about it because God's going to call me out of here before it gets real bad. That's a dangerous, dangerous place to be. Because the Bible said it's going to be perilous times. You are going to go through some perilous times. We're not going to be here for the wrath of God that he pours out on his nation of Israel. I believe that wholeheartedly. But how bad is it going to get until then? Because here's my idea. Have you ever seen the wrath of God? Anybody seen how when God gets angry? Jonathan Edwards preached a message one time. Many of you may have studied this and known the message. Sinners in the hands of an angry God. If you've never heard that, look it up. Research. I'm telling you, we have at our fingertips so much research. It's awesome. Look it up. When he was preaching, they said Jonathan Edwards had so bad of eyes that he would do this, and he would have to read his notes, and every now and then he'd peek up over and see if everybody was still there. You know, he'd keep reading. When he was done preaching, everybody was gripping their pews so tight and their white knuckles because they thought the floor was going to give way and they were all going to hell. That's how powerful a message he preached, because he preached on the angry God and the sinners in his hand. We haven't seen the angry. We haven't seen God angry. And by God's grace, we're not going to. But we've seen God allow some very horrific things. And folks, don't hide behind the skirts of the rapture, because these perilous days are coming. And because they're coming, we need to be prepared for them. We need to know. And we can look at some of these individuals and see. But when we answer the question, because God said it was going to happen, because God said it's going to do it, we need to realize what God said, how bad it's going to get, and then see where we're at today. And I'm not predicting that we're in the last days. I'm not predicting that the Lord's going to return anytime soon. All I know is every morning I wake up, I'm one day closer to that event. Can't guarantee you when it's coming, but until then, we've got some things we've got to accomplish. So, in chapter 3, looking at these 19 things, the first thing we see is that people will be, the first ones, lovers of their own selves. Basically, it's going to be a self-centered narcissistic lifestyle. It's going to be a self-centered. It's all about them. It's all about their issue. And maybe you've met some people like this that no matter what you have, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you've done, they're always one step up above you. They have it harder than you do. They've got more than you do. You know, that narcissistic thing, it's all about me. And so they're going to become lovers of themselves. Now, when we go through these and look at these really quickly, each one of these, I want you to think about the world we're living in, okay? And see how many of these are very prevalent today. And what amazes me is social media has allowed them to just be blown up in everybody. I mean, I don't really care what you had for supper yesterday. Don't put it on Facebook. I really don't care. Why? And if I was a criminal, I would get away with so much. Because I know when you're going on your deals. I know when you're leaving the house. Oh, me and my family, we're going over here. Whew, there's a house that's going to be empty. I mean, it's ridiculous what everybody puts on it. Anyway, that's another horse. As we see what Paul is teaching Timothy here. So we see that. It's a narcissistic way. It's the lovers of themselves. The second one that we find in that same verse is the covetousness or lovers of money. They're going to covet. They're going to want. And we talked about that this morning. We talked about that rich man and how he got rich in the greed and holding back the money that was owed to his workers. He was fraudulent in his bookkeeping and all these things that were going on. And so we see that in our day and age today that, you know, people are going to just really love themselves. They're going to love the money. And again, as we look at the loving of the money, it's not hard to understand that we're living in a day and age where money's getting a lot of people in a lot of trouble. And just look at our leadership. A lot of things going down because of the great, mighty dollar. And so it's interesting when we see that put forth. The third one we have listed there are boasters. And they're proud. They're boasting basically in the realms of this boastfulness. It's an outward manifestation of inwardly. The fourth one, they're proud. So boasting comes from a prideful heart. And they're both listed there. They're boasters, they're proud. And so when you see them, those words mixed together, somebody who is humble doesn't boast. Because you sort of, like, that's an oxymoron, right? When you are a very humble person, but you're boasting about everything you do, that doesn't fit in the same sentence. And so obviously their heart is proud. Their heart is somewhere where it said, look at me, look what I've done. It's all about me. And again, when you start singing, when you start understanding that it's all about what I can do and you can do, and you know, everybody has good in them. You just got to smile all the time, and you got to find the good. I won't even tell you who that said that. All I know is you're called Smiling Joe. But anyway, you can figure out what preacher is Smiling Joe. As we look at this and put into realms that he's boasting, he's proudful. Again, he's just an outward showing, the arrogancy. And then we go to the fifth one. Not only proud, but they're blasphemers. They're abusive towards others. That's what a blasphemer, somebody who just continues to say different things about everybody around them. There's somebody who just you can't trust to your face, to your friend. As soon as you walk away, they stab you and talk about you and do anything else. That's a blasphemer. That's somebody that really, as we understand it today, basically allows the abuse towards others. And again, with the Greek word there, spells out the blasphemiona or mimiana. And so they're basically the blasphemers. Again, so are the words which follow here in Greek after the word blaspheme. I begin with the Greek with a prefix, meaning without. So basically now they're now going to have some of this list is without. So as we go down and further and we see this, they're without as in moral or their own understanding of this, disobedient. They have no moral values. What is good in the moment. What is bad in the moment. And I have a right to do whatever I need to do and want to do to get whatever I want to get. It's a heart, it's an attitude, it's disobedient. And again, when you take out the absolutes of God, what laws or what morals do we have? I know Francis Schaeffer said many, many years ago in a book, How Shall We Then Live? When you take out the absolutes, when there are no absolutes, the only other option is confusion. Who is the author of confusion? It's not God, it's Satan. So when you take away God's absolutes, what replaces it is confusion. You take away God, Satan steps in. Listen, that's true in our own lives, isn't it? That's true in everything we have in our life. If we begin to think that we can do it, we begin to think we can handle it, we begin in our own direction, we're excusing God from our life in the moment, and therefore, listen, we're going to have a very confused life. Because when we excuse God in the moment, Satan steps right in. Because we still have that sinful nature. We still have that ability to do the wrong. And so what he's saying here is, these are some things that you're going to see. You're going to see disobedience. And what that means is you're going to see a group, you're going to see people. Now listen, remember, he's talking about church people, okay? You're going to see church people. He's talking to the church, isn't he? He's writing to Timothy, a pastor, and he's saying, Timothy, you're going to see these things. You're going to see these things in your church and in your world. And so the disobedience is when the absolute is gone, the disobedience of morality is going to be out the door. And so you have today. Why is God allowing the unbelievable things to go on in what we call church? It's happening. The disobedience, without the morals of Scripture. So they're being without. Again, these were all in the Greek written without. So we have that disobedience. Then the next one we have, not only to parents, that's part of it, but unthankful. And they're unthankful in their realm. They're disobedient to their parents. They're disobedient to God. They're unthankful is the seventh. Eighth one is unholy. Ninth one is without love. They all go together. And each one of these without ungrateful, unholy, without love, all come in together to say they're nothing more than heartless. They're heartless. There's no compassion. There's no love. Oh, you're having a bad day? Sorry, I'm busy. I don't have time to stop. I don't have time for this. I don't have time. And so even within the ranks of the church, we're seeing this seclusion of an address. We're seeing that, you know, we don't have time to do all these other things. We got our own little deal to worry about. And again, it's no different in the size of the church because it's in the heart of the people. So they have a unthinkable, unholy, and again, we understand that and we know that unthankful, unholy, and also can be thrown into there, ungrateful, without love. All of those are coming into the play to say, listen, you are simply just heartless. Check out Romans chapter 1. Because when you start studying this through this, you're gonna go to different scriptures in the Bible that have already said this and talked about this. But in Romans chapter 1, looking at verse 31, God again, as we realize, as we've done this, we're doing a study on Wednesday nights through Romans, and we know that chapter 1 was God justifying himself into judging the world the way he's going to judge it. And he says, there's a whole list of things in here starting with verse 28. But when you go down to verse 31, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. So Paul already said this in the book of Romans, the same thing. And that he's saying here to Timothy. He's saying now they're unthankful, they're unholy, they don't have love, they're heartless. And again, I said this. If you want to change the world, you've got to change the heart of the men. You don't legislate it. You can't legislate righteousness. You can't get a bunch of rules and be able to expect everybody to follow the rules. And if you follow the rules I put out in front of you, then you're going to be righteous. And so a lot of the things, and again, just sticking with church, a lot of the things that we have came up with through the ranks, if I could say it that way, all the things that we should do, don't do, and all these things, if they're not listed in Scripture, It's man's rule of trying to create righteousness outside of the book of God, outside of the word of God. And listen, it's out there. I mean, there's rules and regulations. You got to look like, be like, talk like, do like, read like, all these other things. And some of them, you got to be careful, because we're in this mess because God said so. But I believe we're in this mess because man said this is the way we need to do it. I tell everybody I can, listen, there's only one God. I don't care where you go to church. I don't care what denomination you are. There's only one God. Man has chosen to divide and worship him differently. Man has chosen. I'm not a universalist, so don't be labeling me out there, oh, he just believes in one church. Listen, there's one kingdom. There's one God. And man has divided that all up and worshipped it differently for very good reasons at times. So we need to be careful when we see this coming and we understand this. So verse 3 again starts. And in verse 3 we find this natural or unnatural way of affection. And without natural affection, or basically again heartless in the realm they're doing it. They're unforgiving as it goes on. The truth breakers, false accusers. They're people who just don't forgive. Basically, it's interesting when you come down into this unforgiving or this truth breaker, false accusers, when you come down into all that, the Greek word there actually is a Greek word for the devil. That's quite interesting. Because they knew this. You and I see it in English and we don't get the depth of what he's trying to say. You got to go back and see the culture. You got to go back because you and I, whether we like it or not, a lot of our lives are influenced by our customs, our culture, and our creeds. Our culture will move us in certain directions to either do or not do. Our codes, our laws. Listen, I don't know about you, but I'd love to go down Interstate 80 about 150 miles an hour to see how it works. But the codes don't allow me to do that. It puts me into a place of, and so, and the creeds, what we believe from the Word of God, what we believe moves us. And our culture and our creed are always at battle when you live in a sinful world. And yet, when that battle is occurring, listen, most of the time, unfortunately, in our world, I'm not saying here, in our world, the culture wins, and the creeds get changed. When all of a sudden was it okay to have all these individuals behind the pulpit? When is it okay to allow that? It wasn't. Listen, the creed of God's word didn't change. Culture won. The culture today is winning. That's why we're in the mess we're in. And so, again, God said it was coming. That's why we have it. It's here. And we see it coming very quickly, unfortunately. And so they're slanderous, they're without self-control. It goes on down through the verse. Again, despairs those that are good, traitors. They're heady, basically they're rash, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. And as you go through that and you understand, you begin to see, verse 5, I think, describes where we are today. Because verse 5 simply says, having a form of godliness. What does that look like to you? How would you define having a form of godliness in our culture today? You can answer that, by the way. How does that look to you? What's a form of godliness? Okay, people just going to church. Bumper stickers, nice. I love bumper stickers. Bumper stickers. Listen, if I was a criminal, that's another way I know exactly where you are every Tuesday night because you got the dance class all over your bumper. Anyway, I'm not a criminal. I'm just saying. You got to watch what you put on your cars. It's just as bad as Facebook. Okay, any other ideas? What's a form of godliness? Okay. All the right stuff hanging on the walls. What else? What about this church? Is it a form of godliness? Tithing? I want you to think about this church. Attendance, going to church. What are some of the things that we do all the time? Praying? Lord's Supper? That's a rarity anymore. Yeah, Creasters. We call them the Creasters. Christmas and Easter. I don't know where that... I was the wrong side. When it comes down to the form of godliness, anybody can do it. What's the rest of the verse say? And denying the power thereof. When the power of God is gone, when God writes Ichabod across the doorpost, when our statement up front, Deus adiert, God is present, when that is no longer true, everything we do becomes a form of godliness. It's not what they're doing, it's the heart. It's the heartless. It's the power of God. It's the presence of God that makes it a true. And so Timothy is telling, being told by Paul that having a form of godliness, but they're denying the power. They're denying it's coming from God. Look at me. Look what I'm doing. Look how good I can do it. Look at all the things I can accomplish. The form of God, the power of God, and the truth of God is gone. And unfortunately, that's where our church is today. There are many churches today that are doing it on their own way, their own power, and using all the right words anyway. Listen, all my messages could be just a form of godliness. You see, we get caught up on the things that are bad. We get caught up on the things that we can really, boy, gee, wow. But the truth of the matter is, everything, including my preaching, can be a form of godliness if I don't give the power and the glory and the credit to God. If I don't preach through him, or he preached through me, or if you don't live a life giving him the glory, him the credit, it's all form. And do you know how many Christians are just forming it? I mean, faithful attendance, got the pins in the Bible to prove it. I got 20 Bibles on my bookshelf, and they're doing what for you? Because you're living this, and you're doing this, and you're saying that. What's it doing for you? You see, I think we look at a form of godliness, and we think, man, it's those false teachers. It's those bad people. It's us. The moment we say, God, I've got it, we are now acting, forming a godliness. And in my life, if I study through this, I'm like, man, I do this more than I should. I don't know about y'all, but I think we all do this. And we think we have a handle on it. We think we can go. We think we can give up the things or the temptations of this world. We think we can live that life, a godly, righteous life that God wants us to live. Be holy, for I am holy. We think we can do all these things. And when we think we can do it without him, and we prove that we want to do it without him by not spending time with him, when you don't spend time with God, you don't spend time in his word, you're telling God, I got this. We are no better than those doing just a form of godliness. And so we need to really, really rein that in, because I think as he had said, now again, he's talking about all these other people coming down, and they're definitely having a form of denying the power of. And Paul told Timothy, stay away. Stay away from them. Now, I also believe that we are to be close enough, as Psalms 1:1 says, we are to be in the world, but not of the world. I think we need to be in relationships with the unsaved, relationship with these people, enough to where we can at least have conversation with them. Enough to, you can't just write them off. This isn't about a separatist theology. This is about, you know, it, well, you're like this. The Bible says I got to stay away from you. See ya. Don't want to talk to you. Don't want to know you. Don't want to da da da. That may come in time. But when we start separating ourselves off, that's why there's a church on every corner. That's why there's so many denominations. That's why there's so many people that have a form of, and there's too many chiefs and not enough Indians because everybody's arguing among the churches. You see, we need to understand, as Paul is teaching us, in the last days, these things are coming, these things are happening, and we need to really rein it in and see, because this form of godliness and denying the power, man alive, it's crazy, because the characteristics, they're cataloged, all of these things under the last days. Paul said they were happening in his day. Paul wrote to the church in Thessalonica in chapter 4, and what did he tell them? Basically, they were having a problem, because why? Everybody was quitting their jobs, sitting at their home, sitting there saying, God's going to return today. They quit everything. They're just sitting there waiting for the Lord to return. That was a few years ago. And yet, we come to this and say, man, our world is getting so bad. These have to be the last days. No, they don't. They don't have to be the last. This happened clean back when Paul was writing the letter. And we get this concept that, oh, it's coming, it's coming. And we don't, listen, I don't know when it comes. As far as I know, and I study my scripture, it's coming when I don't know. Not when I do know. Because if I knew when the Lord was coming, you want to know what mankind would do? Mankind would live the life they want to live in the day before get right. That's what mankind would do. That's what mankind would do. How do we know that true? Because sometimes when we hear a message, we get convicted and change our lives, huh? We do it every day. We do it all the time. We'll live a life, we'll do things, and it won't bother us until we hear the truth of the Word of God. And then, ooh, ah, man, I got to change that. I got to fix that. And we do that all the time. And so it shouldn't surprise us that we would wait till the last minute, because that's what we do. Just try to get everybody to sign up on the bulletin board. I say no more. They don't sign up until the last minute. We're last minute people, although we want to live in a microwave world. We're last minute people. All of this being said, it's interesting when you go over to chapter 4. Paul begins to talk again about all of these things, and he's still talking about them. And verse 3 of chapter 4, for this time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itchy ears. That's why there's false teachers behind the pulpit. That's why you ought to be careful who you listen to. Now be careful what you listen to. Be careful who you follow. Because God said they're going to be there. That's the only reason why he's letting them in there. Because God's not going to go against his word. So we need to be aware. We need to be careful. We need to make sure that when we come to these understandings of all that is going on in the world. Because listen, it is so easy for us to look righteous in the world that is going very quickly the wrong direction. It's so easy, but we don't do those things. We'll never do those things. We're not a part of those things. And it allows us to look much better than we really are. And there's a scary, scary place to be. And that's when you look at the world and think you're righteous. It's not where you need to be looking. When you look at God and you look at his way and you live that way, then you can look and say you're righteous. As we shared this morning, Matthew 3:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. Yes. Oh, 6:33, I said 3. Sorry, thank you. Did I really? Thanks for correcting that. 6:33, I said 3:33. I did, it was in my notes. Thank you. 6:33, that we have a righteousness only because we seek God. That's it. That's the only reason. And so with the realm of that, just that example, you know how much I appreciate that? Do you realize, How many of you knew that? Seriously, how many of you knew that? And y'all didn't say a word. Shame on y'all. I need accountability, man. Goodness gracious, that proved I'm human again. Imagine that. Listen, when that kind of stuff, it's important. Because, listen, nobody's going to get it right. Nobody does it right. That's why we need church. That's why we need us. That's why we need everyone helping us. And man, we got to get there. We got to be able to say, you know, some of the things maybe in my life, I got to fix up. Maybe I got to seek God more in my life. I got to seek his righteousness more. Because that's when everything falls into place. That's when the confusion goes away. That's when the peace and the joy of God comes in. And that's when you can make a difference in a world that's going crazy other directions. And I'm not one to stand up. I would never stand up to toe-to-toe and argue with these men saying, this is where you're wrong. And I don't believe Scripture was ever written to argue. It is what it is. You either believe it or you don't. If you don't agree with it, you don't like it, you want to change it, talk to God. Don't argue with me. I'm not going to argue with you. It's not my job to argue it. It's my job to live it. And I guarantee if you live it to the people around you that are trying to argue it with you, you'll win. Don't argue it. Just live it. You'll win. It's not there to argue. Because it's there to save the soul. This thing about all the churches and what they're doing and arguing among themselves and doing all these kind of things, and unbelievable. Unbelievable what they're doing to each other. And all in the name of Christ. And I'm going to tell you, when God said he's long-suffering, we have no idea how long. We have no idea what that means. Because you and I would not put up with what our God has put up with for all these years. There's no way. But that's why he's God. And we're not. And that's a good thing. And so, anybody have any statements or comments on that tonight? Anything you want to add? Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's evident. There's a lot of them out there that think they can be, but they're never going to make it. You're right. Exactly. Know your place. You got to know your place. And I think that's the key. That's how you seek him. If you think you're better than him, why would you seek him? So, anyone else? Any other comments or questions on that study tonight? I tell you, it's important that we're able to see and know that there's some of the heart of this stuff. It all boils down to the heart. And we gotta be aware. We know it's coming. We know it's here. Don't be surprised. But to say we are in the last days, I wouldn't say that either. We're heading there. We're heading there. I have no idea. That's why I appreciate somebody telling me. You guys are the illustration. You all sat back, did nothing, and that's what's happening. Just kidding. Thank you for the confidence, but no, I was just simply wrong. I hit the wrong number. I knew it was 633, but yeah, my notes hit 3, and I just read it off my screen this morning. I don't have notes in front of me. If you never knew that, I don't have anything. So I preach off the screen and preach what I know. So obviously I was wrong. Dr. Stanley's son, Andy, correct. God only knows. God only knows. And he's just one of many, many. He's just not the one. He's one of many. Doesn't the Bible state one generation away? And so now all the people that he is teaching, what? One generation away. One generation from ruining everything. And we're seeing it. We're seeing it very easily. So we need to be awake. We need to be aware. And we need to make sure what we study, what we teach, what we know is true. And I am very grateful that of all I said this morning, the only thing I got wrong was a 3 and a 6. There could be some more wrong. I don't know. I love the challenge. I want accountability. Don't ever hesitate to say, hey. And one of the things that Kim and I tried to do this. Kim's much better than I am, of course. But I always say, you know, this is what I heard. This is what you said. This is what I heard. Is this what you meant? Because when I say things sometimes, it just, where are you? I'm in the middle of 3 conversations at one time. But that, and that's what we need to do, you know, to help each other, encourage each other. You know, this is what I see. So I think it's important to know what's out there, but I think it's more important to know what the truth of the Word of God is, and it's more important to live what you know, because that's what the encouragement was. Timothy, stay true. And it's what he says in chapter 4, verse 1. I charge thee therefore, Timothy, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word, be instant, in season, out of season. Timothy's just stay true to the word. And that's where we're at. That is what is going to get you and I through this crazy, messed up world we live in. And so I encourage you with that. It's an encouragement because, listen, God wins, so do we. And that's the important part. Anything else? Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a powerful statement at the end of that. Powerful statement. And that's the form. And listen, Christians can do that just as good as anybody else. And that's why, y'all familiar with the Left Behind series, and Tim LaHaye and all that. It's interesting to show that when the rapture happens, the church had a lot of people in it. I think there's a lot of form of godliness. Don't trust them to take away your sin. And that's like I said, there's only one God. And according to that God, there's only one way to him. And that's through his son on the bloodstained cross. After that, man has messed it up. That's why we have no part in our salvation, because God did it and God did it right. Man will mess it up. Any other questions or comments? I appreciate that. It was a good tonight. Just a reminder, and just to be aware and be awake. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for tonight. We thank you for the study. And Lord, if Paul was instructing Timothy in these things, how much more prevalent do we need to understand them in our culture? Because that's what I believe Paul was really teaching, is the fact that we live in this culture, and we are raised in this culture, and we can't let it come into the church and influence the truth of the Word of God. And Father, I think we're living in days, and have been living in days, where that has been very evident. And Lord, I pray that we stay that faithful remnant. There's always a faithful remnant through all of your times of history. And Lord, we want to be in that faithful remnant. May we stay true to your word in our life. May we live what we believe. And God, may you use us to be that light, that beacon of light into the world around us. And we just thank you for using us. Thank you for working through us. Because without it, we could do nothing. God, we just praise you in your son's name. Amen.